We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Chicago. What do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. And when you sign up, use the promo code CHGO. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Del Mendo, working our way up to Thanksgiving today. We got the World Cup going on at the very moment we're doing this podcast. So we got a lot of non-soccer fans today. Huh? And let's be honest. I'm not a soccer hater. I just have no interest in it. So, you know.
I'll go I'm one farther. For the people and that I'll say that I'm a soccer hater.
Talk Cubs.
Well, that's what we're doing.
I'd rather sit here and talk about hockey than talk about soccer.
Oh, that's crossing the line.
Oh, I mean, the host of ceremony last night was great. Even if you aren't a hockey fan, the host of ceremony was really good.
I'm not a hockey fan. That's why that's what it's saying for me. That's how much emphasis I'm putting it on here, right?
Crossing the line, in my opinion. You can't say things like that. They'd rather talk about hockey than soccer, than the World Cup. World Cup's pretty
100%
big.
I would. If you want to spend 20 minutes talking about Marian Hossa's number retirement, yes, I can talk about that.
We can avoid that.
I don't have anything to say for soccer, so I'm glad we have other people to do that podcast.
Shout out to Jared in the – or not Jared. Garrett. Garrett in the comments. Hit that thumbs up button, he says. That's what one thing we can all agree upon.
Yes. Thank you, Garrett. What did you guys do this weekend? I know Cody and I were sweating it out trying to get some Jordans. For the first time ever, I was told how to download the app. I didn't know there was an app called Sneakers. And then I downloaded it, and I sat in a waiting room trying to get the Jordan 1s. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't even gone back to look and see if I won anything.
I had to wait like an hour and a half, man.
And you got it, though, right?
I did get them. It was, it's just nice to win one, guys. It's just nice to win one.
Yeah, I woke up too late. It was like 9:45 or something that when I woke up, and I was like,
I had it marked in my calendar for these. These are the original Jordan 1s, lost and found. I can't wait for them to get here. I tried to get two pairs because they were selling like men's, but then they're selling like I guess they're technically like boys or like toddlers. And Cassidy can fit in the boys' size, but I didn't win that one, so. I don't know what to get her for Christmas now, but that's where I'm at on that. But yeah, no, I can't wait for them to get home, get here.
I agree. Like I'm not interested in all the Jordans out there, but the original ones, like the very first pair. Okay. That's different. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I did go through it as I was in that waiting room, cause I didn't understand what was going on.
You're just waiting. You're not even in a waiting room.
Am I waiting? Am I not waiting? Do I have to stay on the app? Do I have to sit on my phone? Can I let it go to sleep? Will it still put me in?
You're supposed to just get a notification. I guess I could have just told you that where you're like, you don't
just
have to
check right now. Luke, check right now. Let's find out live on air if Luke won the
open the app and see if it tells you.
I'm confident I didn't. Wouldn't I have gotten some sort of like update alert or something? You know,
I assume you would have got some sort of notification. That's what I did.
Yeah,
he would have to turn notifications on, wouldn't he?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
I think I did when I signed up for the app, but I'm not totally sure. I did look at, like Cody said, there were other sizes, so I was confused by that. So then I went into the little ones. Like I thought, boy, I could get my one-year-old a pair of these pretty sweet Jordans. And then, you know, I started thinking, because those were available. You didn't even have to sit in a waiting room to get those. Mm-hmm. And I was like, boy, that'd be a pretty cool Christmas present. And I was like, but for who? Like, well, you know. And then I decided, I'm like, this is stupid. Why would I waste $70? He doesn't even like to wear shoes. So,
but the pictures would have been awesome, Stucky. And that's the reason that you buy them.
But you know what? I could wait till he's like 5 or 6 and he actually knows what shoes are.
Perhaps.
And then maybe. So anyways, I bailed out on that. And I just, that was the end of my, that was probably the highlight of my weekend. There was just not much. Yeah. I watched the Illini blow it.
Cold. Yeah. It was cold. Like, I stayed inside all weekend. I didn't go anywhere.
How did you deal with the Illini blowing that game?
Well, you know, I went into it with no expectations, assuming that they were going to just get blown out. And then they reeled me in like all my teams do, only to let me down in emphatic fashion. And of course, Iowa Cubs fans that follow me on Twitter were giving me all the smoke. And I don't understand it, because they got beat up by Michigan too. And then also, they're Iowa fans. It's not like there's that much to be excited about for their team.
Yeah.
But whatever. It was a tough one. I did, you know, Illinois basketball did beat UCLA on Friday, so that was nice. They beat a top 10 team in the country. And then you know, they competed against Virginia yesterday. It was a close game, but didn't come out with that one. But to go to Vegas and beat, or go 1-1 against two ranked teams, I'll take it. So
yeah. See, Jack and Colada are in there now, and Colada says his teams are Cubs, Blackhawks, Bears, that's it. So no Bulls.
No Bulls.
And he's lucky there, because
there's a lot of pain. Michael Colada's got a lot of pain. No wonder he's negative, man. I get it. Whenever all your team, when your three teams are that, like, that's a lot of pain. Like, especially in the last 5 years.
For an entire lifetime, yeah. Cubs, Blackhawks, Bears, just.
Or even a lifetime, yeah. I mean, there's just not a lot to get excited about.
Think about it, like, pre 2010. Like that, beyond that, was like the only time he would have had to celebrate was the Bears.
When the Blackhawks were winning cups, that must have been the happiest time of his life as a fan. I mean, and then the Cubs winning in 16, like, he was probably at the peak of his like sports fandom, and now it's just back to everything he grew up with, except for the 85 Bears. At least he got that. I didn't even get to see that.
I know exactly how he's feeling. Do you realize the Bears are currently the number 2 pick in the draft?
Is it 2 or 3?
I thought it was 3.
Yeah,
or either way, tied. They're tied. Pick. Same record. So I don't know what the tiebreaker is, but like,
still a top 3 pick.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm okay. Will Anderson, baby. Let's go.
Field is okay.
It's weird because top 3 pick, but you don't feel as bad about this season as you have in the last, like, ever. Like, for any time you could talk about a three win team this late in the year and be like, I still kind of feel okay about the season, then that's a good thing.
And I know it's way early, but I am starting to question the trade of the second round pick for Claypool, only because that second round pick is almost like a first round pick at this point. Like, you know, like all that's a traded for one, so it's different. But like every pick the Bears are going to be making is going to be the beginning of each round. So it's almost like they're moving up a round compared to what they normally draft.
Yeah. I'm just willing to give it more time with Claypool, at least.
It's got to take a while. I don't love the start, though. I was hoping for something.
Well, they're not even putting him on the field. Like, the only time I feel like he's on the field is in the red zone. I'm like, right, I can't even judge the guy unless he's on the field, and they're not even giving him the snaps. So,
yeah, second 29 snaps or something like that. Yeah. Anyway,
I still like the trade. I do. But
on paper, it seems smart.
Yeah. Right now, it's so funny that we're like 8 minutes into the show and haven't talked about the Cubs, because there's no Cubs news to talk about, really. Like, we haven't. Like, there's nothing going on.
There's just stuff that happened Friday, and that's about it. I saw a dumb tweet about Cody Bellinger that I thought. Well, if you want a classic Cody rant, I'll give you one. But
I thought we should raise a glass to Rafael Ortega.
Oh, pulling out. What was your favorite part of the Rafael Ortega era?
The couple weeks where he was good.
didn't he have like a walk-off grand slam or something like that?
He did.
He had a walk-off in the second half of 2021. I tweeted about it. I tweeted the video because, you know, that's what I do. It was against the Rockies in like late August or early September in 2021. I think it was a tie game.
Oh yeah, wait. I was at this game. I was covering this game.
Yeah, like Rafael Ortega, he had it. Like, it was such a big moment for Rafael Ortega that the Cubs did one of those like a breakdown videos that they put up on YouTube of him describing how this walk off happened or whatever. And we're talking about they only do these like they did one for David Bode in the walk off grand slam. They did one for, you know, other notable players of like such bigger magnitude, and they had Rafael Ortega do this breakdown of him hitting that walk-off homer last year. So
yeah, it was August 23rd, 2021. Rafael Ortega walk-off. Was that Brad Hand? No, Bard. Daniel Bard off the Rockies. 2-run home run to walk it off for the Cubs. That was that one series that got rained out, and there was like a doubleheader against the Rockies. It was like two bad teams, doubleheader, and then like the second game went to the 11th inning or something. And I was just like, I couldn't handle it anymore. I was there for like 12 hours. I can't do this.
I can't even think of what number he wore anymore. Like, I've already forgotten. Like, I'm not good with numbers, but I already have. If you went through last year's roster with me and were like, what number does this guy wear? I might get one or two.
Remember in spring training, we were talking about who's going to get cut. And I was like, Rafael Ortega can't be cut. He's coming off a 900 second half OPS last year. We got to keep this guy.
The Marquez story, that was the much bigger.
Yeah.
For non-tenders, Braylon Marquez was a much bigger deal. I guess I'm not totally surprised, but I'm still disappointed. You know, they certainly know more about his health than we do. And I know he hadn't really pitched basically since 2019. He had a couple appearances in 2020 for his debut, but like, I mean, you're talking a 4-year stretch where the guy barely threw. He had COVID twice. He had shoulder surgery. I don't know. I mean, he went from what looked like a can't miss pitching prospect to out of the organization, and it's just disappointing. I guess that's what we were talking about on Thursday. Like, how much do you really value the prospects, and then how much can you really count on them getting there? I mean, this is a guy that actually got there. He couldn't stay there, and he had great stuff.
First, I just want to give Ortega his flowers. Like, he had a really good end of 2021. Like, at least against right-handed pitchers. Right-handed pitchers, like, did so well in 2021 that he, I guess, earned the opportunity to show if he could repeat it this year. Didn't. But, you know, like, at least give him that. Like, he did something. He did enough to, like, earn the opportunity this year. But that's, like, the same thing that happened with, like, Frank Schwindel, Patrick Wisdom. Like, all guys that did well in spurts and earned an opportunity and, you know, didn't completely take advantage of that. So the Rafael Ortega one doesn't surprise me. You kind of saw it coming after his performance this year. Marquez surprised me in the sense that like he was the top prospect in the system 2 years ago. Like
top 100 recently. In baseball, I believe. Yeah.
He was former top 100. And I didn't see them like just completely cutting ties with him at this point. I thought maybe, you know, he had the surgical debridement in like June, but that was coming off, you know, COVID that delayed his spring training this year. He had the shoulder strain last year, COVID last year. I think he dealt with myocarditis as well all last year. Like, yeah, a very, very long road these last 2 years. And I remember, you know, talking to Jared Banner when he told us that Braylon had the surgical debridement. Talking about, you know, they expected him to make a full recovery, all this stuff. You know, the season was over, but, you know, spring training's far away. Like, let him start to, you know, feel better and start getting throwing, do this offseason program, all that stuff. And so I kind of expected them to keep him along just to see, you know, next year, finally, you know, done with all these injuries. Hopefully he can go to spring training on time, you know, isn't feeling it in the shoulder anymore, and then see what he could do. That was my expectation. So to see Braylon Marquez get non-tendered was, that was definitely the biggest surprise of all. But like you said, Luke, like he had the one, was it two and a third innings, his major league debut in 2020. Didn't pitch at all the last 2 years. I mean, the 2020 season was the lost minor league season, so he hasn't pitched really since 2019. And I mean, it felt like they were just trying to open up a spot, and they couldn't necessarily count on Marquez to ever really reach on or reach where he could have gone had injuries not kind of derailed him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, the reason that it's surprising is just more, and maybe a lot of people in the chat might agree with me on this, is that we just didn't really know what's going on with Braylon Marquez. It's kind of similar with this Alexander Vizcaino thing. Like, he's just been on the restricted list. He didn't show up to spring training. And like, I it's just one of those things to me. Like, I know Marquez had the injury stuff for sure, right? But if, you know, based off my memory, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here because my memory isn't 100%. It's Dell Metrics, as we say. Going into last offseason, Jed Hoyer said something along the lines that Braylon Marquez was healthy going into the offseason and that he was going to be coming into spring like with a chance to, I don't know, be something, at least start in AAA or something like that. And then he doesn't show up to AAA on time, and it turns out he has COVID. And then after that, it was just kind of like you didn't really hear anything. And then I think in the middle of the season, right, they put him on the IL or something like that. And then that was it. And they said that he was done. So it's just like the communication regarding him in general was just never like transparent. It feels like from my end. And if I'm wrong on like this timeline that I spoke it out in, then like, let me know. But like, that's why it's surprising, because you just didn't never really knew. I mean, it's not that I gave up on the guy, but I definitely just got moved to a point where it's like, all right, if this guy ever becomes anything with the Cubs, he's probably going to be a bullpen arm. And that's it, because like his ceiling when he was healthy was like, okay, this guy can throw triple digits and start for you. And then this injury stuff happened. And now it's like, then it became, okay, maybe he can be like a pitching weapon like we've discussed with other guys. So, you know, again, it was just one of those things where I just felt like the Cubs weren't very transparent about his situation. And that's frustrating on all ends, I think, for fans. But at the end of the day, though, I don't think it hurts the Cubs that they're letting him go. I think they have a lot of talent in the pitching end, like we've discussed all year. And, you know, I think that, you know, if he does go on to some team and he can stay healthy, then I guess look at it in hindsight and be like, oh, we gave up on him or whatever. But like other teams are doing that too. Like the Cardinals non-tendered Alex Reyes. That guy was closing games for them a year and a half ago, and they non-tendered him because he can't stay healthy. So like it's just one of those things, I think. And so I'm whatever about the situation. I just, again, if I'm wrong about the timeline of everything, fine. I'm sorry for lying to everyone here on this podcast, but like that's from my memory. Fake news. That's what it seems like. That what basically
liar,
fake news, Cody. Fake news.
I would agree that part of the problem was, or part of the regret for Cubs fans and for me, is that he's like the first guy you can think of that like he was throwing 100. Like that when all of a sudden you don't think of Cubs pitchers throwing 100. So when you heard they had their top prospect could hit 100.
And he was a lefty.
Just kind of like, it was like the unicorn in the Cubs franchise, right? It was like, what? They have a guy that can throw 100. He's their top. He's in the top 100. And when you think about it, really, their top two prospects were Brendan Davis and Braylon Marquez. And currently, one is gone and the other we're not 100% sure about. You know, we talked a lot about Brendan on Thursday in that podcast. But, you know, Niren makes a great point in the chat, and he makes a lot of them. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to trade some of these guys. It's worth the risk a lot of times. And I see Niren going through the list of guys. You know, Verlander was traded, Miggy was traded, Yelich was acquired for prospects. Sometimes you take the gamble. I just don't want to see them include so many for a player that they completely deplete what they've been working on, because there are injuries to factor into. and the development of players as well, that all these guys aren't going to hit. The fact that it worked out in 2015 and 2016 is one of the rarest things in baseball. Like, the guys, the Royals have been the Royals and the Pirates and those teams have been doing it forever. Now the Royals won a World Series too, but it just,
they're also small
market. It's not 100%. You know, look at the White Sox. You know, they thought they were recreating what the Cubs did. And currently, I don't know, but I would say the Cubs have a better chance of winning a World Series before the White Sox do.
Yeah. No, you're right. But those teams that you mentioned, though, they're definitely the small market. So that's why it's like,
that's true.
It makes sense that they're doing what they're doing.
But think how long they've been doing it. The Pirates have been trying to win forever. Like the Pirates and Reds, like,
yeah.
I mean, they've been
Been broken since Jake went into Pittsburgh that one night after he, you know, was giving them all the smoke on Twitter back in 2015. But yeah, like I said, the Cubs have a lot of pitching depth on the farm, and like I think they're going to get by with this. But they could also take a chance on a guy like Alex Reyes. I think I tweeted that as soon as I saw it. It was like the Cubs should give this guy a shot if they're going to non-tender. Marquez might as well take a flyer on Reyes, who's shown, you know, success at the major league level, and someone who also can throw triple digits. I mean, I don't know what his health is, but just off the top of my head, I'm like, all right, wrap this guy in bubble wrap and get him to spring training. Let's see what happens. Like, it's something that you see all around the league all the time, and like, I don't think it's going to hurt the Cubs long term. So, is what it is. I was happy to see that Cody Bellinger is going to be non-tendered though.
Yeah.
Like, now we can actually really talk about it. Should the Cubs actually give him a chance or go after him, or, you know, I don't know. Like, from what I've read over the weekend, looked like, you know, teams have called and offered like multi-year deals and
Toronto.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know if I want the Cubs to offer a multi-year deal. I would love to just get him on like a 1 year trial and see what happens, especially with PCA.
I'd give him 2 years because you could always play him at first base at the moment and put him in a platoon or make him an extra outfielder. I'm okay with that, but you know, we're talking about Marquez being DFA'd, and the Dodgers they're going out there and they're not tendering an offer to a guy that was an MVP, is not old. Now he's more expensive. It's more difficult.
They just don't want to pay the $18 million or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right. But what's the Dodgers have proven, like, what's $18 million to them?
That's fair.
Nothing. That's so
fair. Like, I also wouldn't be surprised if he does re-sign with them though, just on significantly less money. But
yeah. Well, I think that move tells you that the Dodgers, for one, are definitely going to be players in the free agent market. A guy that won an MVP, it's had three down years, but is a, you know, has been a part of that team for a while. Good defensive outfielder. You know, they don't want to pay the $18 million for that. That means they're going to use that $18 million for something else, right? So,
right.
You expect the Dodgers to be players in the free agent market.
Yeah,
it could be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that we've heard the rumors. I still think if I were to go with my gut, that Judge doesn't leave New York. He stays in the Bronx and re-signs the Yankees because I think they're going to do what it takes to sign him. But I know, like, as far as rumors go, like, the Dodgers have been floated out there as possible suitors for Judge, same with like San Francisco. As far as Cody Bellinger to the Cubs, I'm in agreement with you guys. Like, it can't be a long-term deal. Something makes me wonder if, like, would Cody Bellinger accept on like a, you know, 1 year with a second, like, mutual option kind of thing that, like, the Cubs had with Drew Smyly. I don't know how often those are even given out or how, like, what it kind of takes to make that work. But if that's something where, you know, Bellinger, give him a prove it year, and then if he does really well and both sides want to come back, then they could obviously restructure things for a second year. But it can't be more than like 2 years.
I'm curious what the money would be too. I see Sean saying, you know, he'd think he'd be after a 1 year deal to prove it and then get the big contract. I'd see that side of it. If it was me, I'd want the 2 year deal. Let's say he gets $15 million, whatever the number is. It doesn't matter what the number is. Let's just say it's $15 million. I'd rather have $30 million in my pocket and then go get the big payday after 2 years if I've proven it. And if I didn't, I just made $30 million. You know, like if he doesn't prove it here, he's going to be out of baseball fairly soon. Like, he's not, he's not going to be able to stay in Major League Baseball just because he's a good fielder.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to turn it around to make the most amount
Even though Jason Hayward did, but that's because the Cubs gave him way too much money.
But that's because he had a long-term contract, right?
Well, and that's what I'm saying with Bellinger as far as like the one – I know Joe mentions in here that Boris said Bellinger has multi-year options but prefers a one-year deal. I don't remember reading that, but I'll take Joe's word for it. But even then, it's like that's why the a one-year with an option year seems so – possible or even likely that that's going to be something because no one's going to get I can't see a scenario where a team gives him a multi-year deal because he hasn't been good in 3 years. Like he has had offensively, at least has had three bad offensive years coming off an MVP season. Right. So I can't see a team going out there and giving him a multi-year deal. I can see teams, if he turns it around this year, maybe even next year, being like, okay, this guy's barely 30 because he's what 27, 28 right now. So in a couple of years he'll be 30-ish. He's gonna be right around that age, and he could be still up for one big contract if he turns things around the next couple of years. Yeah, I don't see why that couldn't be the Cubs as far as like where he is 2023, possibly 2024. Give him the 1 year deal, give him some kind of option for 2024. And if he does really well, you know, this next year, then keeps it up in 2024, then you have options as far as like, you know, do the Cubs want to keep this guy around for a while? He's done really well in Chicago. I don't know. It's just, you know, throwing things out there, but those are scenarios where it's like getting him on a very short-term deal to at least even just be a stopgap option until some of these prospects are ready to come up. That doesn't seem like a bad scenario in my mind at all.
Do you guys like Nairn San Conforto? He likes Conforto in the outfield. Do you like him better than the possibility of –
Well, he's
Kiermaier, or
he just didn't play at all this year because of an injury. Like,
I know
it's not any different to me. Like, yeah, sure. If Conforto comes back and he's healthy and he plays well, then yeah, I guess it, like, if you tell me that's going to happen, then yeah, I guess I would take him. But to me, it's not much different. The center field options out there, just they're not very. There's not a lot of them this year. So Conforto might have the better higher upside in terms of offense at this point. And if they wanted to trade Hap, I guess it'd be interesting. You know, he says Hap is replaceable, and I agree to an extent that he's replaceable, but you have to get to a point where you're, in my opinion, if you're the Cubs, you have to decide who's going to be, you know, he's not your – Ian Happ isn't your, you know, superstar, can carry a team guy, but you have to have pillars within those types of guys. And I believe that Ian Happ is that guy. He proved it this past year. We've talked about it a lot. They wrote in the Athletic, someone wrote in the Athletic this weekend that, you know, the Cubs are going to be trying to extending him and Nico Hoerner this sometime this winter. So, you know, if you're trading Hap, to me at this point, it would have to be for something, you know, very, very enticing, which I just don't know what his market is to people out there, because, you know, they also didn't move Ian Hap at the deadline this year either.
Right.
And so I don't know, but he proved that he can play a really solid defensive left field. And I know a lot of people don't take that into a big account, but he still did it very well. And I know the power dropped this year, but he also was just an overall really good hitter. And the Cubs just need good baseball players, man. Like, Luke, you've said it so many times that they just need good baseball players. So if you're going to trade Ian Happ, like, to me, you trade Ian Happ and you go and get Conforto, who's hasn't played in a year. Like, what are you doing to make your team better? Like, to me, you're not doing anything to make your team better when you do something. If you're going to trade Ian Happ, then you better be going to sign Aaron Judge or someone like that. Like, be taking that, like, that bigger step. You know what I mean? That's the only thing to me that really makes sense about trading.
You're trading Hap for Ohtani. Oh,
that I'm okay with. I'm sure Ian Hap would be okay with that. You know, like, he'd probably even understand it.
Right.
I don't know.
I just, like, I think that, you know, I get it. Like, it was one really solid, consistent year for Ian Hap. Can you bank on it another year? Well, you know, at the deadline, I was like, well, if they keep him, he better keep playing the rest of the year. And he did. Like, it's, I think he's deserving of being on the next, you know, competitive team. I think he's proven that he likes playing in Chicago. He likes, you know, being part of what the Cubs are trying to do. Like, to me, like, you need those guys. Like, you, like, I don't want to call him a glue guy, but like, he's proven that he is someone that's really respected within the organization. And if the Cubs extend him, then that proves it. To me, if you're going to trade Ian Happ, you gotta go big then on an outfield position. And Conforto isn't it. I think you can get Conforto on a probably decent deal, but like, I don't think you need to trade Ian Happ if you're going to do that. I mean, I don't know.
And there's a leadership void too with Hayward gone. Like, he's pretty much everything they want.
And Jed spoke high on his leadership in the season-ending presser, right, Ryan?
Yeah. On Happ's leadership. Yeah. He talked about how much growth like Happ has taken in that department, right? Like, he saw the trades that happened last year, 2021, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, all, you know, a lot of the leaders in that clubhouse get traded. You know, we've talked about how Jason Hayward has been a respected guy since he came to Chicago, how, you know, Wilson kind of stepped up and became the emotional leader of the team, but that Ian Happ really, especially as soon as he was able to start playing every day in one position, found himself a home out in left field. But while everything else was kind of taking care of itself, he also stepped up, became more vocal, became more of a leader on the team, in the clubhouse. Like, there's a reason he's the team's, you know, representative for the Players Association. Like, there's, the guys respect him in there. He's now one of the longest tenured players on that team, considering how much turnover the roster's had. So he knows the organization as well as anyone on there. He knows how to play in Chicago as well as anyone there. Like, he's now the guy that, young players can go up to and ask questions about being a Chicago Cub, because he's done it for, 6 years now? As far as what Cody asked, yeah, Jed, that was one of the main talking points when he was talking about Happ at the, you know, last month, the end of season press conference, is that he really stepped up in more than just being able to hit the ball better, playing better defense. Like, his leadership ability and qualities really shined through this year. The season wasn't great for most of it. They ended up 14 games under 500, but to see a young guy who's learned from so many other, you know, leaders in the clubhouse over a few years, fill that role at, capably fill that role. That was another big impressive thing that Happ did, an impressive jump that Happ made in his, you know, as a baseball player, but as a person too.
We're 11 days into the period where the Cubs could sign free agents, and we're still waiting, like most teams are, for something to happen. Like, I hope this doesn't drag on.
I think it drags on into like January or February. I really think that those winter meetings are going to be what we're begging for.
Two weeks.
There's like, with the new like CBA and everything, like all done, like, I just feel like they're going to finally get down to business at like when we're used to them getting down to business. So
we've now spent an entire season waiting for this moment. Like, yeah, we knew the games did not count. So it literally has been podcasting, waiting for them to do something. And now they're still sitting there waiting. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's driving me crazy. I'm not going to lie. Like, come on already. Like, I'm starting to get on the Colada train. Spend some money. Let's go. Like,
yeah,
do something. We're going to talk. I want to talk about, I'm going to ask you guys a question about another Dodgers player, and then we'll talk about a local guy the Cubs are bringing in. But I do want Ryan to talk about Shady Rays, because the sun is bright here in Arlington Heights today.
Yeah, I need some to block myself from the Bears also.
That's true. But yeah, no, I can see the sun peeking through my window right now. I think it's starting to get to that point where it's going down a little bit, but still a little sunny. And when it's sunny outside, the best sunglasses to own are Shady Rays. There's no doubt about it. They never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall, because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Dropped in the lake, off a cliff, anything, they'll replace them. And even with that strong of a protection program, they still managed to make quality that I can tell you, holding in my hand, seems just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever worn. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated over 20 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. It's buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54. Redeem that code CHGO only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
BOGO, baby. BOGO. That's what the kids say. Our next partner is a product that I use literally every day. Started taking AG1 because I didn't have time, wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. Now been on it for months. Love it. It doesn't taste super healthy. It is super healthy, and it tastes tropical. I look forward to taking it in the morning. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, you absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that will support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I had a massage last week, guys. You got to drink a lot of water after that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the AG1 builds me from the ground up. It builds me from the ground up. It's a fresh new base in my body. It's like I've started all over. I get a noticeable boost of energy, so I take it first thing in the morning, lifestyle friendly, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day, recommended by professional athletes, more than 10,000 star reviews. So reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just a scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. You don't need a million different pills and supplements. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOCubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGOCubs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
By the way, yeah. USA scored. It is 1-0.
Oh, it is 1-0.
It's
1-0.
1-0. Well, yeah, 1-0. Oh, that happened a little while ago, but we're talking deep into our baseball stuff. I don't want to disrupt it. But yeah,
listen, USA even is up. Even nothing happening in baseball is more exciting to me than soccer. But that's just me. And again, I'm not hating on the soccer people. I'm glad that they have something to watch.
I'm absolutely hating on the soccer people. All right, I'll just be honest about it.
Listen, I could understand getting into soccer if your child or loved one or someone was in it, and that's how you got hooked on soccer. Fair. I hated running as a kid, so I didn't like soccer. I was like, where are we running? Why are we chasing a ball? Didn't seem like it made sense.
I played a lot of soccer when I was a kid.
And I quit
because I didn't like playing. I used to play like year round, travel, all that stuff, and it was like never a break, and I hated it. Quit, but I don't watch that much soccer, but like when the World Cup's on, men's, women's, I watch the Gold Cup because it's always USA Mexico in the final, so I watch that. But outside of those like three things, I don't watch soccer, but I do love the World Cup.
I would never watch a match that didn't have the US in it. Let me put it that way. Like I might watch the US play in the World Cup, but I'm not watching Wales play whoever. That's not the
I gotta hit up my soccer guy, and then I would consider watching Wales play whoever.
I'm surprised you're not gambling on it though, Cody.
That's what I'm saying. I gotta hit up my soccer guy, which I do have a soccer guy, by the way.
I have a question about a Dodgers player. Maybe I'm missing something here that I'm wondering why we don't hear him linked to the Cubs. Justin Turner is a free agent, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He plays third base, right?
He was non-tendered on Friday.
Yeah, he plays third base. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we be interested in Justin Turner, at least kicking the tires on Justin Turner at third base? We're talking about how we need offense and we need this and that. And I'd be interested in Justin Turner at third base.
You want Ryan, someone want to bring up his numbers? Because I don't really know what his numbers were.
I don't know either. I just
I got
as a veteran. Like he's older, but he's a veteran.
He doesn't have to be a long time solve, but it seems like I'd be surprised if he's not an upgrade over Patrick Wisdom.
Yeah. I just don't see.
I'm not more informed about Justin Turner's season than I should be, but like, he's been a pretty good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there's a possibility that he still goes back to the Dodgers, to be honest with you, but
definitely. Yeah, he seems like someone who's going to end his career with the Dodgers no matter what. I mean, am I surprised that the Cubs haven't at least called? Well, at least from what we know, I guess, just because like they need a guy at third base. But I guess I don't know.
So here's something. Here's at least his stats. He was good again. He was good again this year. 123 WRC plus, 2.4 WAR. In 128 games, had his walk rate lowered a little bit, strikeout rate went up a little bit, but not too crazy. Still had a 343 weighted on base average. I mean, he was good again, but he's also my thinking maybe why they at least haven't been rumored around Justin Turner. He's 37, so he is a little on the older side. He's 37, and he's a third baseman, so obviously the priority seems like it's shortstop. And if you're going after a shortstop, also going after third baseman feels a little redundant, because then depending on how you put the lineup together, those guys could be playing third base. Nico could potentially be playing third base. You'd need a spot for Patrick Wisdom if he's going to be on the team next year. And I guess my thinking is a 37-year-old Justin Turner who may not want to come here. Patrick Wisdom's obviously younger, hasn't been historically as good as Justin Turner, but has been solid enough that like, if you have a competitive team with you fill all the holes that need to be filled, and then you kind of roll with Patrick Wisdom as your third baseman, maybe batting seventh or eighth in the order, I think you feel comfortable with that.
Aaron's saying he doesn't know if he could play 50 games. I'm not saying a long-term deal because the guy's old. Cool. I'm just saying like, he would even be improvement at third base if you want to give somebody a little extra money for one season to actually try and make a run in a crap division.
Yeah.
He's not blocking anybody.
My thinking is he probably wants to be on a World Series contender now. He doesn't want to go to a team that is, we can sit here and debate if this rebuild is done or not. We've done it all season, because what else is there to talk about with this organization? But, that would be my thinking, is he probably like, I don't even know if he'd be interested in the Cubs other than, maybe wanting to play at Wrigley, maybe just wanting to collect a paycheck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like I that's just how I look at it, but based off the numbers that Ryan just told us and, knowing his track record. Yeah. He'd be a very solid stopgap guy to play third base until you get someone younger to play there. But
Niren points out that he DH'd a lot towards the end of the year. He only played third base for 574 in a third innings. So definitely it's like half the time of like a regular third baseman. And even when he did play there, he rated negatively defensively at third base. So maybe it feels like if the Cubs were going to go sign him, it would be mostly in a DH spot, which, if they do a lot of the other things they want to do this offseason, that's probably not a spot they want an everyday DH, which it feels like maybe that may be where it would lean more towards with Justin Turner. So that could be a reason why they're not.
You guys are giving me good reasons. I get it. All right.
I don't think it sounds like a good name to me.
No.
Yeah. I don't think it's like a no deal. They don't want Justin Turner. It's just, they have other things that they want to do. That like Justin Turner would be like way lower on the list of
who they want to get. You want to know what I am a little like worried about though, is that the Cubs haven't contacted Kodai Senga yet, while he's been contacted by the Red Sox, Yankees, Rangers, and probably a few other teams. So like, to flip it in terms of like, why the Cubs haven't signed someone yet. And like, he hasn't even met with the Cubs yet. And even though he's been linked to the Cubs all year, that does worry me a little bit.
He has met with the Cubs, hasn't he?
I haven't seen it. Like, I just saw the, I think it was John Morosi was listing the guys. He mentioned the Red Sox and Yankees, and he didn't mention the Cubs again. I thought there was a conversation early on, or maybe it was just that Saya was speaking well of his time.
Yeah, that's all we have at this point is
the right. So I don't know if that means the Cubs haven't talked to him or not. By the way, welcome back to Ravi.
Yeah, Ravi's
where's
back.
Ravi? Ravi, come up.
I don't know. Maybe I'm off on that. You know me. I'm always just saying.
It could also be a thing where it just hasn't been reported yet. Where they have met with him, it just hasn't come out yet, or they're planning on meeting with him sometime soon and just haven't yet. I don't know that. I don't know that I look too much into. Oh, this team hasn't met with this person, or until like things really start heating up with other teams, then you start to get a little worried that the Cubs are falling out of the race, right? But
for sure, I just feel like the Cubs would have already met with them.
That's all.
I think it's just when this team, but again, I'm saying it's like that doesn't mean they haven't. It just means that maybe something hasn't come out about it. I think getting worried about hearing about other teams meeting with Kodai Senga isn't something to be worried about. I think that would be reading too much into things, because players meet with, especially good players, like will meet with half the league. Mm-hmm. And that just because like teams haven't met with a certain player yet, or hasn't been reported they have yet, doesn't mean they won't. And it doesn't mean they're any lower on, or they're falling out of any race. I think that's just not something to me that's worth getting worried about.
All right. I'm ready to be heard again, Ryan.
How about Rylan Bannon being added to the 40-man? A guy from Joliet, a third baseman. And I saw the name. I'm happy for him that he gets a chance to, you know, possibly come home and play at home. Boy, they seem to have it's like when the Bears had all those tight ends. Didn't they have like 12 tight ends one year? Doesn't it seem like the Cubs have just completely stockpiled infielders that are like 26 and can play multiple positions? Is this because they feel like they're going to start making some trades and they want to be able to replenish that? I feel like they have 10 of the same guy.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of part of it is like, well, and then if you're going to hog a bunch of players on your 40 man or in your system, like you'd rather have them be guys that can play middle infield well, right? Like even Jed said at the, you know, the GM meetings, and went more to shortstop, but it was like your best defenders, your best athletes pretty much play shortstop, because then you can move them anywhere else. Like, I think that just goes through it, rings true for any, middle infielder. So Rylan Bannon, you know, I don't know. We didn't know too much about him. That was another kind of surprise, addition to the 40 man. I've seen it floated out around there that maybe this is a guy that they may try to release and go through waivers and then, you know, send him back, you know, keep him in the system, but off the 40 man in the minor league. So that could go to like just having multiple, guys that can play a lot of positions in waiting in the wings, just in case injuries happen or whatever. We don't know a whole lot about Rylan Bannon, other than the stats that we've gotten. He bounced around a little bit last year. I think he started out with the Orioles, and he had been in the farm system for a while. Was released from there. The Dodgers picked him up, but he didn't play for the Dodgers. And the Braves picked him up, and he played one game, I think, with Atlanta. So it's just like he's not like a sexy addition by any means. Maybe again, just another depth piece the Cubs probably saw, liked, and thought that they could somehow get him back down to, you know, off the 40 man, but keep in the system. That's just my speculation, not reporting anything, but it is weird because at the moment that's taking up a 40 man spot, right?
Which they were coveting, right? They were we were all worried about who was going to be protected. Now it seems like we're just adding infielders.
Yeah. So he's taking up a spot. And that's what makes me think that like they didn't open up all these, they didn't waive Braylon Marquez because they knew they were going to go sign. They didn't non-tender Braylon Marquez because they knew they were going to go out and pick up Rylan Bannon off waivers and needed a spot for him. Like there's going to be other roster maneuvering that has to happen with this. Cause I don't know. Cause especially with him, with Zach McKinstry, like There's a lot of like Luke said, a lot of middle infield guys just play multiple positions, but aren't like, you don't look at them and be like, oh, yep, that's the Cubs starting whatever baseman there next year, right? Like it's a lot of guys that are going to be fringe guys that probably are brought in more for depth than anything. And I think Rylan Bannon, is one of those guys, but hey, he's from Joliet, so it's a good story.
Yeah. I mean, that part's cool. You know what else was cool? The first, we talked about the winter, or I guess they're calling it Winterland or whatever at Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. Like instead of just Gallagher Way, they've moved it inside Wrigley Field. And we talked about it, I think, on Thursday. And now we've seen some pictures of when it opened this weekend. I'm going to be honest with you, it looks pretty cool. Like it seems like a good idea. If I had my choice of going down and ice skating by the Bean or ice skating at Wrigley Field, wouldn't you take ice skating at Wrigley Field?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to pay for another free agent, but I don't want Michael Collada to get too upset about this whole thing, but it seems like a cool event at Wrigley Field, and I'm not sure why they hadn't done it before this.
Yeah, no, this is pretty cool. Sarah Spain posted or tweeted a video. It was either yesterday or the day before. I retweeted on the Cubs Twitter, the CSGO Cubs Twitter account. But it was just like a video of them, her and her family or whoever there, and it looks cool. I get a lot of people are whatever about it. If you don't live in Chicago, you don't care, and you just want the Cubs to spend money on free agents. I get it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like there's a lot of teams are around the league that are doing this at their own ballparks and stuff. And that's what makes Wrigley Field and just the entire neighborhood that it's in just a little bit more unique. So whatever.
Right. Like in Cincinnati, who's going to the ballpark to skate? Nobody.
Yeah. I've been to the thing that they do there. I was there last year. I went there with my girlfriend and her family, and it's like it's a nice time. It's fun, whatever. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Collada, new light bulbs look great. The picture, one picture I saw, they weren't even all on. That's how good they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
don't even
save an energy. Come in.
Save energy to throw that back into free agency.
Yeah,
that's back true.
In the baseball budget.
Seriously.
I definitely think we need to get – I don't know when we're going to coordinate going there, but I think we should go. And I also think the possibility, like we didn't – Cody had the one meet and greet with some fans at Wrigley at the end of the season where you were like, hey, meet me at Murphy's.
Mm-hmm.
Like that might be a possibility, like a group outing for like meet at Wrigley, do the skate thing, have some schnapps drinks.
Yeah.
Schnapps.
Go down the slot.
More people will come if you're there, Luke. They ain't going to come to see me.
Yeah. I've never had a schnapp either. So I'm not sure coming to see
you. You never had schnapps of any kind?
No. Not that I know of. Not that I could think of.
Peppermint schnapps and hot chocolate's a pretty good idea.
Okay,
I believe that.
It tastes like a peppermint milkshake.
I'll believe you. I believe you're telling me the truth. We'll go from there.
I'll bring some in one day to the office. They won't even know. We'll just have like Starbucks cups out.
All right, cool.
Did you see it? So I know Ryan saw this. The video of Seiya Suzuki working out, and Ryan quickly chimed in on our Slack channel at work saying, "I do the same workout." Are you trying to tell us that you're going to be the next infielder, Ryan? What's going on here? Like, they've added Bannon. It's Herrera next.
It needs some improvement.
I mean, I'm not. We do the same workout. And
a chest press.
Yeah, a little.
Even I've done that once or twice in my life.
A little bit of pec flies there, just coming in on the cable machines. It tells me that if I just keep doing what Seiya is doing, there's potential. There's potential. Just following his footsteps, and there's potential that maybe one day you'll see me playing right field at Wrigley Field.
We can hope so.
I too can hope so for myself with that with this logic. Yes,
it looked like a fancy machine. That's all I know. It wasn't just some cheap gym. He was somewhere nice. So, Hey, the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually. They last about 2 hours. And then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. And if you're ready to sign up for a facility assessment, call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online on our website, comed.com/facility assessment.
Yeah. So whenever you get your lights fixed, right, you can do that using the money you win on DraftKings, guys. You know, and that's how I pay for my rent, in a way, not fully, but in a way. DraftKings, it's the best. NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back. So tip off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings up to 100% with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a stepped up same game parlay today. With payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where I go to bet on the NBA. Now, real quick, on Saturday, I was betting on some teenagers slinging the pigskin, right? And I wanted to live bet Illinois at halftime because they reeled me in, like I said earlier, right? And so you can't, on the app at least, you can't bet on teams in the state of Illinois because of the law, right? So what do? I call up my good friend Greg Braggs, right? And I'm like, hey, Greg, I want to live bet the Illini here because I'm sure the odds are really good and they've reeled me into thinking that maybe they can upset. And he hadn't signed up for DraftKings yet. I walked him through, and all he did was put $5 on Notre Dame to win outright, which they did. They won very easily, and he got $200 in free bets. And now he just loves DraftKings, just like me. All right.
Yeah.
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code CHGO. Make any $5 bet on this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details in the podcast or YouTube description, guys. It's awesome. I love DK. DK is my favorite app to open when I wake up in the morning.
You roll over, grab your phone off the night table, and immediately go check DraftKings.
Absolutely.
And his Detroit Mercy schedule. Always. True. You got to check the Detroit Mercy schedule, verify if they're playing or not.
I went 7-0 on college basketball yesterday. 7-0. Wow. Followed that up good starting the day, 0-4 today. So, you know, balance. So.
Detroit Mercy.
I mean, he's got to be one of the five people in the country betting on Detroit Mercy games. Parlays, no less. Just, you know.
Gosh.
So the
player hate the game.
We got a peek of the 2023 Hall of Fame ballot. Mike Napoli is on there. He's one of 14 new candidates, the Cubs first base coach. John Lackey's in there. But look at World Series. If you see the list on YouTube, okay, Bobby Abreu, Carlos Beltran, Mark Burley, Matt Cain, R.A. Dickey, Andre Ethier. I mean, Andre Ethier, come on. Like, I love John Lackey too, but Johnny Peralta. Do we have to have, like, all of these names? Like, it's not necessary. There's guys we know have no shot of getting in the Hall of Fame.
Like, I would say,
when is VR? How many years do we have to wait for VR to be on the so we can vote for him? Ryan, you'll have a vote, right? You give him the one vote, and he'll be like, why? And we're like, well, that one time he won, we got.
It'd be like Ryan Tepera getting the MVP vote a couple years ago.
I can see five guys on this list that I'm like, okay, those guys belong in the Hall of Fame. All right. That's A-Rod. That's Manny Ramirez. That's Andrew Jones. That's Gary Sheffield. And then I'd probably go with either Scott Rolen or Billy Wagner.
Torrey Hunter's a guy I could at least have the conversation. And yeah, I agree. There are guys on that list that are Hall of Famers. There's also half that are not.
Yeah.
Jason Worth, you don't need to even consider.
No.
It'll be one of those where contracts. He doesn't even get he gets on there and then doesn't even have the
votes. It's like the one year Kerry Wood was on there and he got one vote.
Yeah. Because it's I don't know. I mean Carlos Beltran could be someone that I think he has an argument. Probably not first ballot, but has an
he's
argument.
He's been on eventually. There for a while. Hasn't he been on there Beltran, for at least a year? You know?
No, maybe, I don't know. Baseball Hall of Fame's hard.
It looks like it says first year candidate for him on this.
To me, he's the Hall of Good. He's the Hall of Good. Burley's the Hall of Good.
I think Burley has a good shot. He has a perfect game on the resume. Yeah, got a couple no hitters. He's got a World Series. I think Mark Burley can get in eventually. It's just going to take a while. Like,
I don't think so.
I would say
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Houston Street, come on.
Yeah.
The only two surefire guys on this would be A-Rod and Manny Ramirez, and they're both tied to PED, so I don't see them getting in.
And Andrew Jones, right? I think Andrew Jones will be in the Hall of Fame eventually.
I think eventually, but I'm thinking, I'm saying like surefire, like no doubt
about it. Yeah, Manny and A-Rod are. Manny and A-Rod. Yes.
But I don't think, if Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa did not make it onto the Hall of Fame, I don't see those two either.
Scott Rolen was a great hitter, and he was one of the best defensive third basemen I've ever seen as a kid. I hate saying that because he played with the Cardinals, but it's the truth.
He was very good. He could be another guy that makes it in.
And like Todd Helton, like I don't care that he played for the Rockies. He could hit, man. Like I think he has a good shot. But yeah, like JJ Hardy, Andre Ethier,
all right,
Bronson Arroyo. I mean, come on, bro.
Right. Yeah, the highlight. That's like saying Sean Marshall. That's no different. Like Sean Marshall, Hall of Fame.
You can't tell the story of Major League Baseball without talking about Bronson Arroyo's leg kick.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. Yeah. I think Burley can get in. I think he's deserving of getting in based off how credible this Hall of Fame voting goes, and which is incredible in my opinion. Like I've said this many times. So
if it was the Hall of Quick players who make the game quicker.
Burley he'd be my Hall of Fame for that. Yeah, Wade Miley, Mark Burley.
I just think he was really good for a really long time. Like,
but he was
He wasn't the best great. Pitcher in the league. He was never the best.
Not winning Cy Youngs.
Like,
he was good.
But
Mark Grace was good.
Man,
I don't think Konerko's a Hall of Famer either.
But then Harold Baines made it too. So
well, 100%. Well, we know why that happened, but that was craziness.
Yeah, you never really know what's going to happen with this with Hall of Fame voters. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, one day they're going to put that who shall not be named guy in there. But
this list, I don't know if I see anyone for sure making it. Like, I think
not unless they're willing to accept the steroids.
Andy Pettit, I think, has a good choice or a good chance too, but he's also attached to steroids.
Scott Rolen may be out of this list the best chance. Maybe Andrew Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know if I even see.
John Lackey did pitch for a long time. He won a couple World Series. Like
Omar Vizquel was a really good player for a long time at his position.
Jimmy Rollins won an MVP at one point.
David Snyder, Hall of Shame. Writers, no business voting. Should be players, managers, and fans. Down with sports writers, right?
Yeah, but it's their Hall of Fame.
Thank you, David Snyder. Thank you for saying that and voicing your opinion.
Well, we appreciate the opinion, but that'd be like, you know, we have a CHGO Hall of Fame and none of us have a say in it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I get it. Gets in.
The player, a lot of the players think that for sure. Like, why are you guys voting on it? It's like, well, they started the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know. Unless they want to hand it over, it's.
I just think that their reasoning for a lot of guys is bad. Like, if you're gonna let Jeff Bagwell in and Ron Rodriguez in, but not let Barry Bonds in, then like,
What right. are we even doing here? Mm-hmm. And it comes down to, like, honestly, it just comes down to, do those guys who are voting, do they like those other guys? And it, right. the way it looks like, it's like, okay, that Barry Bonds wasn't the greatest dude. Like, he wasn't the nicest guy in the world, whatever. Michael Jordan wasn't the nicest guy in the world, and he was a first ballot NBA Hall of Famer and the greatest basketball player ever. Like, I mean, who cares if you're a nice guy or not? I mean, you talk about the Hall of Fame, the amount of people that they put in the first 10, 15 years that existed. You want to know how many of those guys are probably racist? A lot of them probably. I mean, yeah. I'm just being real with you. Like, they were good at baseball. Put them in the Hall of Fame. Thank you.
All right. We do want to point out, by the way, that, you know, we are going to be on tomorrow's the day we're at a different time, right? Tomorrow's 3:30.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, believe so.
So although we're almost always on at 1:20, tomorrow, because of scheduling conflicts, 3:30. So everybody that's listening to this in the download or here currently, which we thank you for being on the YouTube chat, 3:30 tomorrow is the time for the podcast, and we'll be here. We'll have something for you on Thanksgiving. We'll have something on Wednesday, pretty much keep you busy. And we're just hoping to have the emergency podcast. We're waiting for the emergency podcast. We're on pins waiting. And needles for the emergency podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
anyway. Well, see, I was prepared all weekend for it. You know, anywhere I went, had my laptop with me.
Now wait a minute. You were sleeping in on Sunday. You told us at 9:30 you couldn't be up to check out, or was that Saturday, the shoes?
Saturday was.
Saturday. So you weren't ready Saturday morning necessarily.
It's when is 9:30 sleeping in on a Saturday? Well,
it is for me now. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, it used to be noon on Saturday, but now it's earlier.
I was up like, yeah, see, I was up half hour after the shoes. I was ready to go.
10, you were up by 10?
At the latest was 10 o'clock.
Now that's pretty good. Someone your age up by 10 o'clock, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
I'll admit it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Thanks for joining us. Again, we'll be back with a breaking newscast, podcast, whatever you want to call it, if they actually finally do something. Until then, we'll see you Tuesday at 3:30. And don't forget, fly the W.